Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Wait for the signal. Wait for it. Let's go.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Right.
Right.
So, okay, so let's talk for a minute about what's going on. This could be our current events segment, Dave.
Oh, current events.
Current events. So, last year's Survivor Series, we had a small lead up to it was going to be Brock Lesnar versus the modern day Maharaja, and I guess the fans weren't really behind it, so they called an audible, and AJ Styles took the title before Survivor Series, and actually had a pretty doggone good match with Brock. Oh,
they did. It was a good match.
Excellent match. So here we are in 2018, and they did the same thing on us again.
I was kind of surprised because I was actually looking forward to seeing how they were going to book that match with AJ and Brock. But I also was kind of shocked when they did the same thing again with the Daniel Bryan heel turn, when he took the opportunity to bring out his inner Shinsuke Nakamura and kicked AJ right in the Wachobies.
I kicked him as hard as I could in his testicles.
Right in the junk, huh?
Yeah, he did.
And, dude, Daniel, when he did the no movement and they had Team Hell No and stuff like that, you know, they turned Team Hell No into kind of comedy, but when he was doing the no thing, that was awesome. You know, he comes out, I'm a vegan, and you guys that eat meat, I hate you, and that was pretty good. So he definitely does do a good job as a heel, I would say. You know, and I've heard, I was on an episode, I think you were telling me about it. It was in, what's the one, Total Divas. It was Nikki Bella or somebody was talking. They were going to turn, she was going to turn heel. Old, what's the chick that comes out with the flashing shoes and the whips her hair all around?
Naomi?
Yeah, Naomi. She was going to turn heel or something, and she was all scared and all worried, and Nikki told her, she said, nothing to worry about. She says, some of the funnest times I've ever had were as a heel. And so I wonder if they like – if some people like that. I know, like, Hogan was it when he came to the WWE and stuff, he told him – he's like, I'll come back for a while, but he's like, I don't want to be a heel again.
Right.
And so – but I think some of them like that.
Yeah, they get to do things that is not – it's not really in their personality, but they get to act out something that maybe that's – inside deep they would like to do, but they, you know, they have some ethics and they wouldn't do it outside of the ring. So yeah, I think they do have some fun with it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So so no spoilers, because I haven't seen Survivor Series yet, but tell me, talk me through a non-spoiler alert of the build-up and what happened.
The build-up itself, I think the WWE has gotten themselves in just a little bit of a pickle here, because there is almost no build-up to some of these smaller events. Survivor Series, which I've always enjoyed, actually only had, 2 weeks of build-up? They had, after the fiasco in Saudi Arabia, which was a different subject, they only have a couple more weeks to get this build-up going into Survivor Series. And they always do this thing where one brand will invade the other brand and beat up on them for a while to kind of get that heat going. And this time they almost hurt themselves because of it. You know what happened to Becky Lynch?
Yeah, dude, did you go back and watch the replay?
Yeah, several times.
There's some fan videos out there too that show, and I think you were right that it was more of a forearm. But, dude, she legit knocked her the F out. I mean,
she did.
I mean, you could see that she didn't pull that punch at all. And it makes you a little wonder a little bit if there's something going on or if she didn't mean to or
well, you know. One of the things that I've read and you know, like we've always said, I'm not an expert, we're not experts, but you know, we read and we listen to podcasts, listen to the wrestlers, and several wrestlers have expressed that when you have several people in the ring, maybe it's a battle royal or you've got a situation like happened on Raw, that's one of the most dangerous times because you don't know where things are coming from. You've mm-hmm. got to trust your instincts and trust your fellow competitors. If you watch that video with Nia Jax, Becky comes up to her from behind, and I just didn't think she knew exactly where she was when she threw that punch that hit Becky. I think broke her an orbital bone, which is right around the eye socket, and maybe broke her nose and gave her a severe concussion. That's why they had to make the change with Charlotte Flair. But speaking of heel heat, on the Survivor Series broadcast itself, they've taken that situation and made something out of it because now Nia Jax is being known as hashtag facebreaker.
Dude, Becky Lynch sold that like a freaking champ, didn't she?
Oh, she was awesome.
I mean, she no medical attention, bleeding all over the place. She just stands there like, yeah, what the F are you going to do about it, you know? I'm the man.
She continues on in the match and are in the beatdown. And at one point, she sees the blood all over. She gets it all over her hand, and she just flings it down on the ground. And, I mean, it's like that was tough guy territory there. I mean, she did a great job.
That's why she's the man.
She's the man.
Yeah. So, okay, dude. The one match I have watched of Survivor Series, I caught it right in the middle when I had a little break between things, and I got it. He drives me crazy.
Okay.
And I just don't understand. I just don't get it. The Shinsuke Nakamura match.
Uh-huh.
And
that was with Seth Rollins, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry, but I didn't think it was a very good match. I don't get him. I don't understand that, you know. And the announcers on that one made it worse for me because they were just, you know, oh, Shinsuke using that in-ring psychology. Oh, see, this is really where the psychology for Shinsuke comes in. Oh, this is really where the mind games come in, you know. Oh, look at Shinsuke playing those mind games with Seth Rollins again. You know, he really gets into your mind. And I'm just like, shut up with the mind games. It just will have been Seth Rollins' knee they were talking about. Beat that sucker to death, you know. I mean, I just don't understand the Japanese strong style, I guess, because they're – I mean, you could see – I mean, I don't know just from an observational point that Rollins was trying to get things moving and he'd hit the ropes and he would, you know, and Shinsuke would roll out of the ring or Shinsuke would, you know, hit the ground or – I mean, I don't know. It just seemed to be kind of like, dude, you know, can you not hit the ropes? Can you not – can you not bounce the ropes a little bit? Can you not sell some, you know, a Hurricane Rana or just something, you know?
Just anything. That match frustrated you, huh?
Yeah, really bad. I don't know why. Maybe I don't know. Tell me what you think.
I kind of enjoyed the match a little bit. But getting back to Shinsuke, once again, here's one of those call-ups from NXT that they've wasted.
Yeah,
they tried to make him a face, and people were reacting to his face, face turn, more so for that entrance where people could sing along with it than anything else. You can still see he gets a big reaction for that entrance music, but he's so much better heel, and right after his heel turn, and he finally loses to AJ Styles, he loses... and he becomes a heel, and he's battling against AJ. And then when he wins the U.S. title, it was like he was gone. It was mm-hmm. almost nothing heard from him for about a month or 2 months. He wasn't on TV. There was no mention of him. And I think people kind of forgot he was there for a while. I like his heel tactics better than I did him as a face. I couldn't stand him as a face, to be honest with you. But when he started doing the undercuts and the kicks, the Nakamura turn where he'd kick him right in the Gabonza beans, and we had a lot of fun with that. But I just think he's a better heel. But once again, there's one of those NXT call-ups that I don't think the writing staff knew what to do with.
I agree. I agree 100%. And that goes back to again, a topic that we've discussed almost till we're blue in the face, which, you know, if you choke on your turkey, Dave, you'll be blue in the face. So be careful, will you?
Okay, will do. Will do. I won't choke on it.
So, you know, is too much talent for one roster, man. It's just, let's just be obvious, you know. I think that there's so much guys right now on the roster that they don't know what to do with them all.
Oh yeah, you look at a great talent like Rusev, and he's getting frustrated from what you know, all the internet chatter is, that he's brought up, he does great, and then he's almost regulated to a humor type situation with the Rusev Day, which I still love Rusev Day. I'm wearing my happy Rusev Day shirt right now. He's a little bit frustrated. The good brothers, that is, when they came up, you thought they were going to be a massive tag team. No, they've buried them. They've buried Sanity. A lot of the tag teams that they bring up, they especially bury from NXT. Sanity, I don't know why they're not up there battling for the tag team championship all the time. It's just a frustrating situation. I think you're right that they just don't know what to do with them. And it's basically because they have the big stars, the ones that people still want to see, and they're trying to build these other guys up, and there's just no room.
Yeah, you're right. You know, guys like Curt Hawkins and you know, even Dolph. I know Dolph's kind of in the limelight, but right now, but they basically had to pay Dolph Ziggler off to get him to not leave, you know, because he was like, and they basically are like bribed him to stay as a mid-card guy, and yeah. He's like, okay, fine, you know, money talks, so I'll lose to whoever you want me to lose, just pay my bills, man, and that's kind of frustrating to me, you know.
Yeah, they've used him. I mean, with that type of situation, though, I will give them this, that, you know, he was signed basically to be an enhancement talent for the big guys. But, you know, he's won the tag championship. He won the title for a little bit. And now they've teamed him up with Drew McIntyre. But they are now starting to tease a possible face change for Dolph again. But, I think they have written that character very well with the situation that he's in. He's still one of the guys that can at any time win the belt. And he is just – and he's done it. I mean, that feud he had with Seth Rollins was great. And now they've got him with Drew McIntyre and stuff, which has been fun too. I think they've actually written that situation in pretty good.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk for a minute about yeah, exactly.
Need another
camel. So I guess I haven't seen Survivor Series yet, but I did see some highlights and some things of Raw, and I guess Brock was in a lot of the locker room, and a lot of people and on the interweb were pretty pissed at him for that little segment he did with the modern day Maharaja and the Singh brothers.
Uh-huh.
I mean, when he dumped Sunil Singh right on his neck, I mean, and luckily he's so dang lucky. Twice he did it to him. Dumped him right on his neck. And I don't know how he didn't break his fetching neck.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Did you hear any of that heat or that frustration or...
No, I haven't heard much about that. I know a lot of the backstage people get upset with him, not only because that he does dangerous moves and sometimes doesn't follow through them properly, But that his attitude backstage is not good either. So I'm tired of the stick. I mean, to be honest with you, even though I still love Paul Heyman on the microphone, the best in the business ever on the microphone, I'm tired of that whole entire stick right now. I could care less about Brock Lesnar. I mean, get him out of there, fine. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, Brock doesn't belong as the – and I think most of the fans are tired of him too. You know, I think he gets up. I think he gets a pop just because, you know, he's still – people know him and people get kind of excited to see him in his hometown and stuff. But, I mean, like, you know, I'll admit I was shocked when he showed up to that Salt Lake City live event that you and I went to.
Yeah.
Were you there at that one?
Yeah, I was at that one. We both turned to each other and said, he's actually here.
I mean, and I was pretty excited to see him just because we were like, you know, that's a pretty big name, and we'd both never seen him live before. And you know, so I think people get excited for that reason, but then they're like, oh, why did I even cheer for that asshole, you know?
Yeah. I just don't like this. You know, I think he might even get more of a pop because of Paul Heyman. Yeah. You know, he comes out with Paul. I don't know if it's a reaction to Brock or if it's more of a reaction to Paul, to be honest with you. I mean, that's my honest opinion there.
So, well, what else, Dave? What else? We kind of covered a few things that I wanted to cover, so I've got my selfishness out of the way, and it's time for Thanksgiving, so it's a day for giving. So,
well, I wanted to do a big shout-out to Lucha Underground.
Give the audience.
Their Ultima Lucha 4 was incredibly good, and our friend of the program, Marty Casals, Marty the Moth, was part of the main event with a title match against Pentagon Dark. Now, that ended in some strange things as Marty was beaten in that match. But then after that, here comes Jake Strong, which we know as Jack Swagger. He comes out and cashes in his kind of like the Money in the Bank. He has this belt, the Gifts of the Gods title belt. Cashes it in. He becomes the title holder, and they get the. Remember, Lucha Underground is more of a TV show with wrestling than a wrestling show that's on TV. Mm-hmm. So they have some really strange storylines with this gauntlet and power control. But it was still fun to watch as they were going about it. But Vampiro and Matt Stryker, I think, are the best team in the business.
I just don't know, as far as the sanitary, his blood is splattered everywhere. Him, what does that tell you? Is he sick? Is he mentally disturbed? Does he have a disorder? Is he crazy? All of that and more. This is just beginning.
As far as the commentating, I just giving them a shout out. And then at the very end of Ultima Lucha 4, the situation is that all the, quote, bad guys are getting together to take over the world because they have this gauntlet. And the Mr. Big they've been teasing the last couple of years is sitting in this limo, and it turns out to be Wade Barrett. He says, I got some bad news, and they kind of left it off of there, okay? And now comes word that they're not sure whether Lucha Underground Season 5 will even be done.
Ooh.
But I hope it is. I hope it is. I've thoroughly enjoyed the product over the last 5 years, 4 years, that is. That I think somebody, if El Rey doesn't pick them up, somebody needs to pick this show up. It is just that well done, and the performers are good. And I love the concept of this being a TV show. This is a TV program that has wrestling in it, which is so different than what everybody else does. I really hope they can get that worked out.
I hope so too. Yeah. No, it's good for business. It really is to have that other promotion. And you know, and I'm honestly, I like to see. You know, I know there's a lot of people who are upset that Wade Barrett showed up in you know, they're like, why Wade Barrett? Wade Barrett sucks and this and that. But I kind of like to see when they get these guys, you know, like in there that are worked for different promotions and stuff, and see what they do with them. I mean, they did a great job with Rey Mysterio, and you know, they did a great job with you know, PJ Black, I guess is his name in Lucha. What was his name in WWE? He was in the Nexus. He was the Bunny.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember it too. I can't remember.
Brain fart.
darn it! This drives me crazy.
Name again, Justin Gabriel.
That's right. That's right.
Justin Gabriel. You know, I thought they did a great job with him, and there's other people that have, you know, when Joey Ryan showed up there, that was cool. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just interesting to see different talent show up there and have a different way they do things and stuff. It's just all in all a good show. But, you know, I'll tell you, Dave, who's knocking it out of the park right now is NXT.
NXT. Woo, baby. I'd rather watch NXT than Raw, to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
You know, when we were talking about heels, what a great heel Tommaso Ciampa is.
Yeah.
This guy looks swarmy. He's got the bald head, the big old long beard. He comes out and he has great skills on the microphone, and he is a heel. I was so surprised when he went to NXT from ROH, and he's using his real name, Tommaso Ciampa, that they made him a face as part of DIY with Johnny Gargano.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought he was such a good heel when he was in ROH, and now he's proving me right that mm-hmm. he's one of the great heels in the business.
Yeah, dude, Aleister Black, you know, Tommaso Ciampa, Adam Cole. I mean, dude, there's some awesome people there right now.
EC3?
Really, yeah, dude.
man, you're talking some talent that is there, you know, kind of underneath the bubble. And now even the heel change going on with Johnny Gargano and Aleister Black, that is just some fun stuff. And you've got Ricochet there. I mean, these guys are, to me, they're just so far. I mean, you can't say that they're not main roster talent, but what are they going to do with them?
Yeah. You know, and somebody, you know, even talking about, you know, let's talk about the female competitors for a minute. You know, Shayna Baszler.
Uh-huh.
I mean, dude, she needs to go. She needs to come to Raw and just beat the piss out of Ronda, just for fun, you know, just for fun. And I guess
I have a different take on that. Okay, I think what's going to happen is Shayna Baszler is getting ready to be called up, and they're going to set up the four horsewomen of MMA, which was Shayna Baszler, Ronda Rousey, and then those two other ladies that show up in NXT that I can't remember their names right now, to take on the four horsewomen from WWE, which was Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, and Sasha Banks and Bayley, all when they were in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what they're working towards right now.
That'd be good. That'd be good. That would be a good thing for the women's. So you talked about, while we're on that subject, and again, no spoilers, but you said that Raw, or the Ronda and Flair match ended up being pretty good.
It was a good match. It was, I mean, honestly, the best match I've seen Ronda Rousey in until they had the heel turn. And I'm not going to try to give you too many explicit details except for this. Charlotte Flair beat the ever-living blop, 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 put in all kinds of four-letter words here, out of Ronda Rousey with a kendo stick.
Good.
I mean, it was brutal. I'm just going to kind of leave it at that. You need to watch that one.
So what's going on with Nikki Cross right now, too? I can't figure her out a little bit.
Yeah, they've teased her coming to the SmackDown Live roster. They've even teased her being with Sanity again. But she was so integral in that storyline with Johnny Gargano and Aleister Black and Tommaso Ciampa when Black was injured in a in a match, legitimately injured in the man region, then they did that storyline that somebody had attacked him. And Nikki Cross was the one that had witnessed it all. And she plays this crazy character so well. I mean,
yeah, she does pretty good, doesn't she?
Yeah, but she has been on SmackDown. And they talked about her with Sanity on SmackDown Live recently. So
I know
she went against Charlotte Flair, I think it was, on SmackDown once.
You know, and I honestly wouldn't have a problem with some of these people, you know, even, you know, crossing the line a little bit, going to NXT, you know, seeing a superstar down there to play a story for a little while and then seeing a call-up, you know, almost switching spots a little bit here and there. And, you know, seeing like Nikki Cross comes up to SmackDown for a few weeks and causes some stress and then disappears and goes back to NXT. And you know, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing some more stuff like that, but they never will.
They have been showing a call-up, and hopefully they're going to do this right. During Survivor Series and on Monday Night Raw and SmackDown Live, they've been running a video package of a call-up from NXT, a guy named Lars Sullivan. Are you familiar with Lars?
I'm not.
He is, quote, a monster. Mm-hmm. He's probably 6'6". You can tell he's done powerlifting because his thigh muscles are just monstrous. And what they've done with him, instead of him being this bad guy monster that will just come out and, you know, do dumb things and stuff, they've characterized him as this guy who can outthink you in the ring too, and outmove you in the ring, and outpower you in the ring. They talk about his IQ and his educational background, but you will enjoy if they can write Lars Sullivan correctly. You put him against Braun Strowman, who, by the way, Braun Strowman's probably going to be out for a while because of a injury in his elbow area, bone spurs there. But he is probably a closest to a Braun Strowman that you're going to find.
That's cool. I think it won't be long before we'll see WWE live back in Salt Lake City. They usually come a couple shows a year, so I'll bet you there'll be a show here in probably February or March.
Yeah, they usually do the Road to WrestleMania coming through Salt Lake City, but I haven't seen anything. I actually looked online. I haven't seen anything as well.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything yet either. My friend that works at the AT&T Center down in San Antonio, they just did Hell in a Cell there, and WWE Live is coming back there. They're going to be there at the end of this month again. And I was like, holy crap, they must like that area.
Yeah. So the question is, what did you do with your Hell in a Cell chair your friend sent you?
It's on display upstairs. I have it around the dinner table, and then my wife moves it out of the way, and I just move it right back.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I have my WWE belt on display at the very top of our entertainment center, right? This is the centerpiece of our home. And she says, you know, as soon as we get this and this and this, that's going to go away. I says, it's not going anywhere, honey. I says, this brings peace and love to our home.
And class, you can't forget how classy it looks.
Yeah,
the WWE title belt, that's a classy thing. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're saying, dude. You know, but see, that's the difference between somebody like you and me is you are a classy individual and I am not.
I've got mine hanging up in my comic book room. You need a man cave. That's what you need.
I'm working on my man cave, and it'll go right next to the WWE belt and my autographed picture of Rey Mysterio Jr., and everything will go right next to my deer heads on the wall. I'll have a little man section. Don't worry.
Yes. I do worry about you saying that way. So.
Well, I guess it would be better than a woman section, wouldn't it?
Yeah. We need more man caves in this world.
Then you could rightfully – or my inner gender cave. my gender neutral easy bake oven.
That's what we need. That's what we need. So.
Well, Dave, happy Thanksgiving. And
happy Thanksgiving to you too, sir.
The thought of a quick Thanksgiving Day podcast. It's been real fun, and I think I better go check on the turkey and the stuff like that and see how the family's doing.
Well, you have yourself a great Thanksgiving, and we'll do again. I mean, you've got a lot more stuff coming up on network. I mean,
yeah.
we're coming up on, even though they keep on saying that they're going to have less and less pay-per-views, they've been adding more and more things that you don't want to miss on the network. So kind of keep that in mind.
I got a couple days off work ahead of me, so I'm looking forward to catching up a little bit on some things. And no side work for this week. It's all wrestling and family this week.
All right. And family first, okay?
Oh, not wrestling first?
Well, how about a tie? We'll call it 1A and 1B, okay?
Okay. It'll be like – family will be like the WWE main roster, and wrestling will be like WWE NXT, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And make sure you watch NXT. NXT TakeOver. Incredible. Cool. Incredible.
Well, happy Rusev Day. Happy Thanksgiving Day. And appreciate you, Dave. And till next time.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
Somebody that turns heel and turns face about as often as Dave changes underwear. The Big Show. Let's rewind. Go back to WCW. Insert something there about fast forwarding. Insert a little fast forward sound effects there. Agreed, 100%. See, Dave, without AJ on the podcast, we kind of should agree on something. Dividing us.
I'm going to tell. Charlotte Flair beat the ever-living blop, 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 blop. Put in all kinds of four-letter words here. Oh,
that's
awesome.
This brings peace and love to our home.
And class, you can't forget how classy it looks.
Well, I guess it would be better than a woman's section, wouldn't it?
Then you could rightfully.
Or my inner gender cave.
Holy bleep!